Bloomington mayoral candidate Jackie Gunderson is fresh from a campaign for McLean County Board. Gunderson ran on a platform of inclusivity and giving everyone a seat at the table. The message is carrying over to her pursuit of the mayor's office. Dana Vollmer talked to Gunderson about why now seems like the right time to run.
It was definitely not in my original plan, but as my bid for county board wrapped up, I was super proud of the race that we ran, and I was ready to get some rest. But I was watching at the time, only one person had submitted their packet to run. And so just before that, I had made the decision that I wasn't seeing anyone running that looked like me and lived like me. And I just thought maybe this is a time to harness the momentum I have from the race that I just wrapped up and put my energy towards running this race. And so my team and I sat down and we debriefed briefly my past race and looked at the numbers and thought this might be something that was worth our energy. And so we shifted our focus immediately from the county board race to this race.
What would your priorities be for helping get Bloomington on the right track or continuing its trajectory?
So my priorities, what I'm focused on is our community. I have a vision and I have empathy for my neighbors, and I want to see a mayor that looks and lives like me, like I said. And so obviously community is my number one focus. That's no different from the previous race that I was running. I have been so blessed by this community, and I want to be able to turn those blessings into real change for our community and bless those around me as well. So people who live and work in our community, they are valuable, and I want to make sure that they are represented fully and feel like they have a part in making Bloomington even better than it already is.
What do you think should be some priorities for kind of revitalizing downtown and keeping those businesses healthy?
I love downtown. We are big downtown Bloomington supporters. We frequent many businesses down there, and I think the revitalization that has happened down there has been incredible, and I love to see the businesses thrive. And I know that outside of COVID, they have done incredible work downtown. And so I, in all things, want to be an advocate for business owners, not just downtown, but all of the small business owners in Bloomington. They're members of our community. They're our neighbors. And I do believe in economic development that benefits the people that live here, that my actual neighbors. I want to make sure that there's a comprehensive approach as we look at the complex issue of how to help small businesses stay here and plant their roots here and be successful here. And I think it's important to look at not just downtown Bloomington, but other small businesses across Bloomington that have set their roots here, that have chosen this community, and how do we go about making sure that they continue to stay here?
And you mentioned kind of the financial strain that the COVID-19 pandemic has put on businesses. That's obviously something that affects the city as well. How would you kind of address the issues that we're facing and get the city back on a firmer financial footing?
Yeah, and I didn't mention this before, but we're small business owners as well. And so watching this whole pandemic unfold, you know, we're all doing this together for the first time. Nobody has all the answers. And so there have been times where I've thought, oh, ouch, that hurts us, or, oh, that benefits us, certainly throughout this. And I know other business owners have felt both ends of that spectrum along the way. And so I don't have all the answers either. I think this is a really complex issue, and I believe that it takes a comprehensive approach. I think it's going to require a leader that can bring all of the important people to the table so that they can problem solve together. I think all of our local leaders have had issues with aid coming from the federal level, the state level, guidelines and restrictions coming from the federal and the state level, and they're doing their best to make sure that they navigate it in the way that makes the most sense. And like I said, none of us have ever done this before. And so my focus is making sure that everyone's voices are heard and that the solution to this complex issue is comprehensive and it's collaborative, and we work together to make sure that all of those people that are struggling and are trying to get through this pandemic, just like their neighbors, have a seat at the table and have the opportunity to share how they think we can best recover from this. Because there's no one size fits all. And like I said, it's complex. There's no one answer probably that makes the most sense. And so having everybody that has a stake in it, having the opportunity to share what it looks like for them and what they would like to see, I think is really important. And showing each other grace along the way. Like I said, we're doing this for the first time, we're in it together. And if we can do it collaboratively, everyone is going to benefit in the long run.
And so how do you kind of involve residents in the decision-making process for the city, not just on, you know, the COVID funding issue, but on any plethora of issues?
My experience looks different than some of the other candidates, and my background is not just in my professional life, but also in my extracurriculars. I've had a leadership role in several different organizations where coming together is important, and I have the skills and the ability to be able to collaborate with people. And so the first thing is being open to hearing what people have to say and giving people the opportunity to share it. So there are times when I have found local government to be not so accessible, and I found it to be not so transparent. And so giving people avenues to play a part in local government is really important to me, and making sure that people are heard, but not just relying on them to reach out to us. We need to be reaching out. We need to be going to those people and offering them the opportunity to share what they believe, and not waiting for them to show up at City Hall or submit a public comment or contact their rep. Their reps should be reaching out to them and making sure that they understand what's going on and hear their feedback. So listening, but also giving people the opportunity and the platform to share what it means to them and how it affects them is really important. And then taking that and collaborating and making sure that those voices that were shared and those opinions that were shared are rolled into solutions and decisions that are made.
And what about from the city council perspective? How would you go about managing those relationships?
I think that is one place where I have an opportunity to build relationships. Like I said, I have served on some several nonprofit boards of directors, and I am the director of a nonprofit. In my professional life, I am a manager of people, and I bring people together over capital projects, and navigating those relationships in each of their wheelhouses is important, and making sure that my voice is never louder than the other voices. And so there will be times that the city council disagrees on things. I think we all know that the city council is full of passionate people and people who want the city to do better. I don't think anyone gets in this job thinking that they want the city to do worse. And so understanding, just like I said before, understanding that we're all doing this together and that we need to show each other grace, but also not being afraid to speak up when something doesn't seem right or to ask someone for clarification. And I think city council is a good example of the ways that those kinds of relationships, when you build them and you work collaboratively, benefit everyone, right? They don't just benefit the people from your ward, they benefit everyone in the city of Bloomington. And so making sure that I work alongside everybody on the city council is really important to me in this role.
If you could change one thing in the Bloomington City Code, what would it be and why?
Ooh, that's a good question. Right now, I have a lot of thoughts about the welcoming cities ordinance. I would like to see that blossom. I think that it is, it has had its chance to be presented in a way that is dividing our community. And I think that there are some real opportunities there to actually unify our community. And so there is obviously people that feel strongly on both ends of it, but I think the biggest piece that's being missed in the Welcoming Cities Ordinance is that the Welcoming Cities Ordinance is asking for the prevention of city resources, time and money, being utilized to assist federal operations. It's not that we're asking the police not to do their job. We're asking for federal resources to be utilized rather than local resources. And I think that when we do that, our public safety is strengthened. And so there's a lot of pieces to it that I'd like to see. But I know that right now it has a lot of contentious opinions on it. And I think that it needs to be broke down. And maybe there needs to be more work on how we approach it. But I think that right now I would like to see that ordinance personally move forward, because I think that there are ways that it makes our city safer when immigrants trust local law enforcement and they feel more comfortable reporting crimes, then our public safety increases, right? Our public safety is strengthened. And so it's an opportunity to strengthen those relationships among our law enforcement and immigrant communities, but it's also an opportunity to make our immigrant neighbors feel like they're valued here. And so I know that it's a big hot topic right now, but I think it has a lot of pieces to it that could be beneficial to the city.
And circling back to the COVID-19 pandemic briefly, what role do you think city government should play in terms of enforcement of COVID-19 safety precautions for businesses and individuals?
You know, that is where I don't know all the answers. And that is something that I have been personally looking at. But we run a business, my spouse and I run a business where we have to follow all of the health department guidelines. And we have regular health inspections to make sure that the food that we're serving people is safe and that our employees are safe when they're working. And so if we didn't do one of those things, we would get a health code violation. And depending on the severity, we would need that that would have to be followed up on, and we could potentially lose our license to serve food. And so I think when it comes to the safety of the customers and the safety of the employees, I think it's really important that enforcement follows the code and follows the guidelines that are set in place. We are still getting regular health inspections at our business for the normal health and safety of our customers and our employees. And so if we didn't do that, we would be held accountable. And I think in this case, like I said, we're all learning. This is the first time we've ever experienced this. And I don't know what all the right answers are, but I do know that if someone is not following health and safety guidelines, then they should be held accountable, just like any other health and safety guideline.
Sure. And so just for some listeners who may be meeting you for the first time with this interview, do you want to just tell them a little bit about who you are, the business that you and your spouse run, where you live, and kind of your favorite things about the community?
I would love to. Thank you so much for asking that. So I'm Jackie Gunderson, and I have lived in Bloomington, in the Bloomington area, for the last 10 years. I moved here for ISU and I never left. And I work at ISU full time. I'm the procurement manager for construction and facilities purchases. And I am an ISU alum. I went to ISU for special education, and I am now completing my degree at Lincoln College in the A program for organizational leadership with a focus on leading an organization. So my current job is responsible for construction and facilities purchases, public bidding, and following the state of Illinois law. My previous leadership experience is in environmental health and safety and risk management in a manufacturing setting. For the last several years, I worked in agriculture. And outside of those professional roles, I serve as the director of the Penguin Project of McLean County, which is a nonprofit organization creating unrestricted access to performing arts for children and young adults with developmental disabilities. And that program has my whole heart. We have anywhere from 80 to 90 participants, age 10 to 24, and we put on a full-scale Broadway musical every year. And they are just incredible human beings that show me what resiliency really is. And I'm also an active member of Hope United Methodist Church. I volunteer with the Healing Rides Ministry through the Wesley United Methodist Church, which is a special bike with a wheelchair on the front, so that neighbors that are no longer able to experience the joy of Constitution Trail have the opportunity to go out and get some healing, fresh air and nature on the Constitution Trail and conversation. And it is just as healing for me as a peddler as it is for the writer. And I'm also the co-lead facilitator for Friends Like Us, a youth group offered by the Central Illinois Pride Health Center. And I volunteer my time with the Special Olympics whenever I can. My spouse and I just opened our small business right at the very beginning of the pandemic. We own Under the Ground. It is a vegan and vegetarian meal prep service, and we're actually located out in Downs, but we deliver within a 25-mile radius of our location, and we have contactless pickup there. So that's a little bit. We also rescue senior dogs and foster senior dogs and cats. So we keep pretty busy here in Bloomington with that. And we do that through Pet Central Helps.
Perfect. All right, Jackie, I think that's all I had for you. Do you want to kind of do a last wrap up of why people should vote for you?
Okay, so if you are just meeting me for the first time, I hope that this interview will give you an opportunity to know me for more than just what I've done for the last year, which was run for county board. I have set my roots here in Bloomington, and my spouse and I bought a house in the southwest area of Bloomington 3 years ago. We absolutely love our neighborhood. We love the people in this community, and I have a lot of opportunities in the community to work alongside people. And it is my focus to make sure that everyone has a seat at the table and that the spaces that I occupy are inclusive of people that are often left out. I have the motivation, the creativity, and the leadership skills necessary to serve and represent all Bloomington residents. And I have a passion for continuous improvement and for our community. And I just look forward to the opportunity to serve Bloomington in this way and give back to the community that has blessed me in so many ways.
All right, Jackie, thank you so much again for taking the time to talk. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate getting to talk to you again, and I'm sure we'll have another opportunity over the next couple months. But thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely. I think we're on schedule now for air on Thursday. So that's, I should also have a web story up probably in the late afternoon or early evening on Thursday. And I can send that to you when it's ready.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate the timeline as well. So
of course.
I know when to expect it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was nice to talk to you, Jackie, right. And take care.
You too, Dana. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.